take your mind off the miserable traffic by journeying into the past. When Mayor Jenny Durkan announced a deal with Seattle Public Schools that included a plan to demolish Memorial Stadium at Seattle Center, our resident historian Felix Bunnell got to wondering why the parties involved aren't considering preservation and renovation instead. Felix is brought to us by Lake Washington Windows and Doors. Good morning, Felix.
Morning, Dave. Yeah, we've been covering the story for going on about 5 years. Now, that stadium, the official name is Seattle High School Memorial Stadium, built in 1947 in memory of nearly 800 Seattle alums who died in World War II. Now, I admit, I've been fixated on the memorial wall. That's the feature that lists all those names and which you can park your car right up against, as I did yesterday. Now, when the mayor announced demolition plans, no mention was made of the memorial wall, but they did, when we reached out, say they will save that, you know, whatever happens to the stadium. Mm-hmm. And I guess that should be the end of the story, but I got to thinking and I did some research. Got some help from a great friend of the show, Lee Corbin, who did some additional digging. We'll talk about that in a moment. But the premise, and maybe this is really obvious, but it's not just the wall. The entire stadium is the memorial. Now, in fact, the stadium was around for about 4 years before the wall was dedicated in 1951. And it turns out this isn't just some pedantic argument or splitting hairs. I spoke with UW architecture professor and architectural historian Jeffrey Carl Ochsner. He said the late 1940s was all about facilities themselves serving as memorials, not just freestanding statues or shrines.
In the post-World War II era, it was very typical that functional buildings and works of engineering were designated as memorials, rather than building separate structures that served as memorials but had no other purpose.
Now, the stadium was designed by architect George Stoddard, and it was named Seattle High School Memorial Stadium before World War II had even ended. The name came from a school board member. Now, I mentioned the research that Lee Corbin did. What he found was several newspaper clippings that talk about the stadium before and during construction that reveals how the entire facility was regarded. An example from the Seattle PI from March 1947 says, "Not just a huge mass of concrete surrounding a gridiron field, but ultra-modern in every detail, the stadium will be just what Seattle citizens intended it to be, a truly living war memorial." And again, this is 4 years before that wall of names was built. Now, the stadium isn't currently on any historic register. It's never been officially considered by the Seattle Landmarks Board. But Jeffrey Carl Ochsner says it would easily qualify as a landmark under several official criteria. One reason is because the architect, George Wellington Stoddard, is significant. He also designed Green Lake Aqua Theater and the South Grandstand at Husky Stadium and that weird little octagonal gas station on Denny Way we talked about earlier in the summer.
Right.
He also designed Victory Square and, you know, the temporary monument during World War II downtown. But the architect is only part of Memorial Stadium's landmark bona fides.
It's also certainly significant for its cultural history as the center of so many different kinds of celebrations and activities. I mean, how many generations of Seattleites went to that building for football games, for graduations, for other ceremonies. And then it got another layer of significance from the role it played in the Century 21 World's Fair and all of the ceremonies and activities that took place there. So clearly, the building qualifies under the landmarks designation on multiple criteria. It would also easily qualify for the National Register of Historic Places.
Yeah, another researcher, retired Seattle Times writer Bill Cawson, found some other great facts. You know, the concrete roof was the first of its kind over any stadium anywhere. And in 1967, Memorial Stadium was actually the first high school football field in the country to install AstroTurf, which is crazy. Now, I also spoke with Chris Moore. He's executive director of the Washington Trust for Historic Preservation. That's a nonprofit group that advocates for not just freezing old buildings as museum pieces, but for keeping them relevant and as dynamic parts of the community. Now, on the day after the Foo Fighters christened the place and a few days before the Kraken make their home ice debut there, Chris Moore sees a lot of parallels between the original Seattle Center Coliseum and its dowdy and neglected neighbor.
It was not that long ago at all when there was talk about demolishing Key Arena. You know, it's a white elephant. What can we do with it? The Sonics are gone. It's just sitting there. It needs to be upgraded. We've got to do something else. And look at it now. And then to think that you now have this memorial stadium echoing kind of a mirror of Key Arena, even though what's really kind of interesting to me, and this is just kind of the architectural nerd in me, but, you know, you look at Memorial Stadium, it was only completed, what, 15 years before Key Arena?
Yeah, and so what Chris Moore says, those buildings are from a different era and are kind of in a conversation or a dialogue, is what happens in a city that stuff gets built at different times. But there's lots of potential for renovation, given the open space around those concrete grandstands. Now, in her announcement of the new plan, the mayor mentioned the shabby condition of the stadium, which, generally speaking, is fine. It's in use all the time. It survived all those big earthquakes. Just hasn't been shown much love, maintenance-wise. So Chris Moore says when he hears talk of Memorial Stadium's tired condition as a reason for demolition, the whole thing starts to sound like Key Arena all over again.
To talk about it in terms of, oh, it's in disrepair, it needs to be torn down, it needs to go away, it doesn't fit. Let's not forget that those were the exact same conversations being used to potentially justify removing Key Arena, which thank God never happened.
So do I detect another Bunnell crusade coming?
Well, you know, it just feels hasty to me. The fact they made this announcement, you know, a month ago that we're going to tear it down and it's going to be on the ballot in February. Now, City of Seattle and School District declined interview requests. Tim Robinson, the school district, says it's too early. With, you know, the ballot measure 4 months away, doesn't seem too early to me. Too early to talk, anyway. Historic Seattle, which is the local preservation advocacy group, talked to Jeff Murdoch there. He's the advocacy guy there. He says the Landmarks Board says the city should submit a nomination to Landmarks Board before they ask the voters to pay for anything like a replacement of it. It all just seems kind of fast.
Well, if you're going to renew it or refurbish it, could you at least remove those support posts that obstruct the view from the stands?
Wait, what support posts that obstruct the view? So on the far, on either end of the stadium?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
There are support posts.
Well, I mean, you'd have to probably do seismic to the concrete, but you could reimagine it in a way that would, it's also really hidden. I went down there yesterday to try to get a good photograph, and you can't even really see the stadium. There's no signage for it. It's entirely tucked away. You know, I also checked with the Queen Anne Historical Society. They're not opposed to demolition. They want to save the memorial wall, and they're not opposed to preservation either, but they want to see what the plan would be before anything moves ahead. It just seems like everything's moving way too quickly, with demolition as a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
When it hasn't been given an actual fair shake to actually be really reviewed for its historic significance and what the building really means as a monument and a memorial, rather than just that wall of names, if that makes sense.
It does. So. Let's talk about something completely different for a moment here in the few seconds remaining. We have our annual Halloween radio play coming up. What have you chosen for us this year as the head of Seattle Radio Theater?
Yeah, yeah, it's a very august position. It's called The Murder of Roger Ackroyd. It's a public domain Agatha Christie story from the 1920s that Orson Welles did in 1939. Cairo carried the original broadcast back on November 12, 1939. You play Dr. Shepard.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to be a spoiler alert or anything, but Chris Sullivan plays Roger Ackroyd. He's in the title kind of gives away what happens to him, right?
Yeah, I play a dead guy.
Yeah, but you do it so well. I mean, you just like
you really
nail it.
You nailed the audition. Beautiful.
Yeah, well, as Felix, as you told me, about 20 minutes in, I can call it a night.
You can sit back, yeah. But it's one of these sort of drawing room style thing. It all ends with everyone in the same room, and it's Inspector Hercule Poirot, played by John Curley, doing his best Belgian accent filtered through Cleellum, if that makes sense. kind of gets everyone in a room and figures out who the final suspect is, and it all kind of comes out in the end. But it's
what's the date?
It's next Tuesday, October 26th at 8 p.m., live on the radio. We don't have a live audience this year because of the pandemic. I look so forward to having people back with us next year, let's hope.
Yeah.
But it should be fun to have a live radio show on the radio Tuesday, October 26th at 8 o'clock.